This is episode 14.
Hi, Kathy and Les from Erie, Michigan. Mike's Road Trekking blog has been a part of our daily reading since we started looking for a Class B motorhome. It's been a great place to find help with everything from who to what, where, when, and how. We have met some great people at events like Pogo Smoking on the Bayou and have been able to keep in touch because of the blog.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. This is a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. And whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of a car or a tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, and the Good Sam Club. Good friends, good fun, great savings. Join today. Hey, I got a favor I got to ask of you. Will you help the RV Podcast stay free to download? All I need you to do is complete a very short anonymous survey. Now, we're going to be talking about this for a few weeks, trying to take this survey. It'll take no more than 5 minutes. And your answers will then help match our show with advertisers that best fit the sensibilities of our podcast and its listeners like you. Listeners who complete the survey, this is the cool part, you'll be entered in an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Really? We promise not to share. We won't sell your email address. We won't send you email unless you win. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you'd go to podsurvey.com/RV, podsurvey.com/RV, and take this survey and get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. I thank you very much if you'll do that for me. Well, what a week this has been for RVers. This is like Christmas. Well, it is Christmas. Actually, this show is releasing the week before Christmas Eve in 2014. The beauty of podcast, of course, is somebody will be listening to this in June or July, so I won't talk too much about cold weather. But this is like Christmas because if you travel the highways and byways of North America, you have noticed, have you not? Gas prices, fuel prices, diesel prices. That's what I use. I use diesel. It's dropping. This is great news. I just did a check just before we started and hit the record button for this podcast, and cheap gas prices are spreading across the nation faster than the holiday cheer that we all have this time of year. There was a flurry of price cutting at stations over the past week, and right now, this is what's so cool. As I do this podcast, as we air this podcast or as we release this podcast, it is December 17th, 2014. And as we talk about that right now, we can say that gas can be found for less than $2 a gallon in 13 states across the country. And that's expected to increase. Less than $2 gas. 2 weeks ago, there was only one station in the country that was selling gas that cheap. GasBuddy.com. Have you ever been there? That's a great website. I'll put a link on the show notes for this episode. This is roadtrekking.com/14, and you'll get to the show notes. And GasBuddy.com shows that Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Ohio have at least one station now that are selling regular gas for less than $1.90 a gallon. Most often, you're going to find cheap gas at stations in Oklahoma. That was the first state to break the $2 a gallon mark. They did that back on December 3rd. But 10 other states, as we go to air on this podcast, Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, New Mexico, Texas, and Virginia also are posting gas at less than $2. And it's supposed to keep dropping for a while. Gas below $2 a gallon can be found at a handful of stations in those states, even in Oklahoma. It's not everyone, but it's a trend that we are seeing. Four of the states only have one station each. So I don't want you to think you can get every one of those states it's that cheap. But statewide averages in those states that I mentioned are well below the normal around the country. This is according to the Auto Club. The average price for all the stations, because there's still some stations that charge more, is about $2.25 a gallon, but way down from what we have been paying. And with the statewide average in New York, which is one of the most expensive, now below $3, every state in the lower 48 now has average gas prices below that $3 benchmark. The nationwide average is still up there a little bit. It's $2.55 a gallon. But that is the lowest it has been, guess since when? Since October 2009. Man, this is great news, huh? Falling gas prices driven by plunging oil prices around you. Crude oil is now trading for below $60 a barrel for the first time in 5 years. It was just over $58 a barrel as I was compiling this report, and it's supposed to keep dropping. The reason is falling demand for oil because of economic slowdown in Europe and Asia, more fuel-efficient vehicles, major reasons for the fall in auto prices, but increased U.S. oil production, which took the nation past Saudi Arabia now as the world's largest source of crude. Earlier this summer, we became the largest producer of oil in the world. Isn't that great? So that's another big factor. And the dollar's strong. OPEC has been unwilling to cut production in order to prop up prices, which they normally do. So some are now saying that oil could literally fall to near $40 a barrel at some point in early 2015. And that would drive gas prices down even more and make gas for under $2 common at every station around the country instead of just a few. But anyway, you can now find widespread, not a lot of stations, but across the country, gas under $2 a gallon. Now, diesel, I just filled up about an hour before I started this record, and it was $3.55 I paid. But, you know, diesel's always a little bit more expensive. And you know what's so weird about that? The big stations like Pilot and TA, you know, which cater to truckers and cater to RVers, their diesel prices are always, always way more expensive than what you can find right down the road at regular service stations. I wonder why that is. Now, I know they all have special deals with Good Sam and with the Family Motor Coach and with certain credit cards, and so you can get a discount still off that. But why is their prices so high? I don't get that. You know, you'd think that they would, because they're catering to this crowd, that they'd have better prices. Anyway, I digress. The good news, and that's a Christmas present, is fuel prices are way down. And that is really, really cool. All right. We've got lots of stuff for you in this program. We're going to do extended question and answers. We've been getting a lot of them, and I think that's going to be pretty cool. So we'll do a couple of them this week. And I got some expert answers on one, and Jennifer's going to help me in one in just a second. She's here in the studio with me. And as we get going on, I've got an interview I did at the National RV Trade Show in Louisville, Kentucky, a couple of weeks ago. And it's from a company called Let's Go Aero. And what they make is incredibly great storage solutions for camper vans, for Class B vans, for Class Cs, even for SUVs and vehicles. But at the show, they had something called the Ark House Shelter, which is really cool. And we'll talk about that. It's something you can attach to like the back door or the side door of a Class B motorhome. And it extends your space outside, your living space. It's really cool. So we'll talk about that. And I think you'll enjoy that. So we have lots to do. All right, let's get my wife here at the desk, and let's hit the mailbag and see if we can take some questions.
questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Mike, this is Bradley. You know, I just been realizing I was looking at my road trek, and, you know, I kind of just looked at my windows, and I realized they had been accumulating dust from over the years. And so I was just going to ask you, what do you use to clean your windows? Because I just can't, I've tried Windex, but that just doesn't do it. So, I mean, what do you use?
Well, thank you much, Bradley, for leaving that voicemail question at roadtrekking.com. Joining me now to help on this important question of cleaning is my lifelong traveling companion, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
And the chief window washer.
Chief window washer, bottle washer. Okay. So, Bradley asked a pretty good question about what do we clean the windows with? I guess it should say, what do you clean the windows with?
I love those K-Wash, those cloths that we have that you don't need to use any kind of spray cleaner whatsoever. You dampen the cloth, wring it out as much as you can, wipe down those windows. I love it. They work great. And when I do need a chemical cleaner, for years I've used Sprayway. I like that.
Sprayway. What is that? It's like a can.
It's in a can, and you spray it on. It's foamy. It's white. And you wipe it away with a regular cloth, not your special cloth that you don't use any cleaner with, but with another rag. And it leaves the windows great. And something that I've heard when I used to use other window cleaners was that be careful when the sun's shining, that when you wash windows when the sun's shining, it'll streak for sure. Now, living in Michigan, we're very fortunate because the sun doesn't shine that often.
Never.
So you're pretty safe cleaning your windows. And when the sun does come out, you go, ah, windows, they need your attention.
So the first thing you talked about were the K-Wash cloth. And we'll put notes up on the show notes here for this. It's roadtrekking.com/14. Roadtrekking.com/14. That'll take you to the show notes, and we'll put a link up. These K-Wash cloths are available at the Road Trekking store, and we've talked about them before. It's the best cleaning cloth that you will ever find. I mean, it's perfect for an RV. We've actually done the whole vehicle with it.
What I like particularly in our home, we have some mirrors where there is some wood trim in between, and I use that cloth. No cleaner. I can get that mirror so clean with those cloths. I love them using the house. And even with the house, I like to, when it rains, if I'm home, I'll run outside and wipe down the window with the cloth, and it works great.
Now, in the RV, which Bradley was talking about, the outside is where all that dust really accumulates. And then it kind of, you know, because you open those windows, they only open an inch, but dust kind of makes their way in there. We use usually that cloth on the outside. First of all, you wet it down and you don't put anything on it.
That's right. I use it all over in the interior. Just rinse out the cloth, get nice clean water, get it clean, wring it out, and use it.
So we use it for the outside of the windows.
As well as inside.
And actually, we use it for everything. I use it to get bugs off the windshield and the front windshield. And all you do is get it wet. And how many times you can wash it. You can throw it in the washer.
Yeah, you just wash it. No fabric softener, and you don't put it in the dryer. It has to air dry.
But it doesn't take long. And you can we've actually done the whole RV.
We have.
With these
cloths. So if you don't have a lot of water, bucket of water, you can wash your RV.
You need to see these cloths. They tell you that they're made out of like something like 70% polyester, and then kind of a nylon, 30% of that. But it holds seven times its weight in dirt and grime and in liquid. And each fiber in these K-Wash cloths is 200 times finer than a human hair. And that's the secret of these microfibers, their incredible cleaning ability. So it's pretty cool. K-Wash cloths, they're like $6 a cloth, and you'll get a lot of uses, or two of them for $10, K-Wash cloths. And the other thing then is this can, and you like this can instead of Windex. It's a kind of a foamy stuff.
Yeah, I do like it. I've used it for years, and it serves us well.
Okay, the name of that can stuff for everybody who's looking?
Sprayway.
Sprayway. So we'll put links up on show notes for Sprayway and for these K-Wash cloths. But I will say this, that you have the windows in our RV sparkling.
I like things to sparkle.
Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV Podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B motorhomes from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. They're in stock, on display, and Van City loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class Bs as well, and they have a great fly and drive program. Shoppers from all over the U.S. choose Van City RV, fly into St. Louis, they get picked up at the airport, taken to Van City to pick up their brand new unit, which they then drive home. I've been to Van City RV. I've met Ray and Danny and the crew. They have one of the top service centers in the country. They've worked on my Road Trek motorhome, and I can personally attest to their skill and their expertise. Here's Danny with this week's special at Van City RV.
Thanks, Mike. Well, we only have a few of our 2014 model year units left with the $3,000 additional discount off our already deeply discounted. Some of these units can be up to $15,000 to $20,000 off of MSRP. We also have several nice used units at great deals. We're also looking for some good used Class B motorhomes. There's no better time to trade or sell your unit. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at VanCityRV.com.
Once again, that number is 1-800-467-3905, Van City RV. Hey, I told you we had an extra question we're going to put. Actually, it's a comment, and I want to play this because it's one of the, and I'm not poking fun at this guy. I just think it's a great comment, and he's talking about using his Class B motorhome and his Road Trek for a purpose. He took it hunting, and you just got to hear this. So this came in on our voice message link from the roadtrekking.com website. And I think you're going to enjoy this. And hey, for you hunters up there, here's an idea. Check this out.
Well, hey, Mike, my name's Rodney here. The other day I was out in Wisconsin and decided I'd go deer hunting. Well, I spent all day out in my blind and I didn't see anything. I about froze myself to death here, Mike. Well, when I got back to the Road Trek and made myself some dinner, all of a sudden this big 10-point buck walked straight in front of me. So by the time I went in the Road Trek and got my gun and loaded it and had it aimed at him, he was already gone. But, you know, next time, I think I might use that Road Trek as a blind. Just thought you might want to hear that, Mike.
All right, Rodney, thank you so much. I did indeed want to hear that. And if you've got a question about how you use a Road Trek, a comment on how you use a Road Trek or any other kind of RV, or if you want to share a story like Rodney just did, well, here's how you do it. You just leave us a voice message.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the Road Trekking News of the Week.
Road Trekking News of the Week actually came. The big news came from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada last week. Actually, we scooped everybody on this story. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we did a story for you about the brand new Zion. The Zion motorhome that was being introduced, Class B motorhome on the Dodge ProMaster chassis from Road Trek Motorhomes. They were showing that off at the Louisville National RV Show. Well, they had the official rollout with Chrysler executives in hand at the Road Trek factory in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. And I was there. So I had the tape recorder with me and we got a couple of interviews and just sort of give you a slice. It was a big day. Everybody, all 200 employees on the assembly line were dressed in special T-shirts, white T-shirts, commemorating the launch of this brand new motorhome, the Zion. And they all had a great free lunch. Chrysler execs were on hand and they had a catered meal for all of the assembly line workers. And they rolled out the first production vehicle of the Zion. And that was pretty fun. Jim Hamill, the president of Road Trek, he was there, and here's what he said at the start, and then we got some other interviews for you. You can hear those.
This is a pretty cool opportunity for us to get together and have a meal and celebrate what
is likely to be our biggest product launch in the last 10 years. This product, the new Road Trek Zion, we took to Louisville, the trade show last week, and the response was overwhelming. We're buried in orders. We can't even think about how we're going to build enough. And before that even happened, we had discussed, we had been offered by Chrysler, who is really excited about this program as well. They wanted to buy all you folks lunch and celebrate the first vehicle coming out. And so can we all give a hand, please, to Chrysler for buying us lunch? We all know how dynamic this business is and how much change we have to make. We continually have to launch new models. Our competitors are launching new models. Our competitors came out with many new models to try and take Road Trek's number one status away. And that's not happening. Our number one status is still solid. We're still growing. The market forecast is excellent. Out there in the marketplace, customers are able to get money. They're able to borrow money to buy units, and they are buying units. We have to continue building and shipping great products, and that's done by you. That's not done by me. That's not done by the management. That's done by you, and I really wanted to thank you for that. Thank you.
We're with Paul Cassidy. He's Vice President of Sales for Road Trek. What's the response been, Paul, for orders for the new ProMaster chassis?
The response has been tremendous. We took the product to Louisville, brought it in front of our dealers, and there was nothing but positive all the way through, to the extent where dealers are now concerned about making sure they have enough product available to satisfy the needs of the market.
It's kind of interesting because here you just rolled this out with Chrysler, a big ceremony, everybody got shirts and food, but right behind us on the production line, there are several of these being built right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and we've got retail demand. I've got dealers emailing us to say that they're going to write a deal today, tomorrow, Saturday. So it's hit the market, with a lot of energy, and we're already seeing retail activity come our way, and very few people have seen one.
I had a guy leave a message on the blog that he was from, I think, Dallas, and he said, I don't care what it costs, I want to be the first one to buy one.
Yes, no, and it is. It's really cool to see this kind of energy generated instantaneously for this product. It's definitely found a real sweet spot in the marketplace, and it's going to do exceedingly well for us.
The Road Trek Zion on the ProMaster chassis. Thanks, Paul Cassidy.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
Road Trek factory in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. And, of course, the big news was the rollout of the Road Trek Zion on the Ram ProMaster chassis. And joining me now is Ken Tuckey from Chrysler. He's the senior manager of the National Fleet and Commercial Vehicles. And that's a pretty neat vehicle out there, Ken.
Yeah, Mike, we're very proud of the ProMaster as we're bringing it into Canada and the U.S.
Tell me what makes this such a unique vehicle for recreation vehicle owners.
For recreational vehicle owners, we're finding that it's the only full-size van in the market that has front-wheel drive, making it lower to the ground, easy step in, and it also has a very wide chassis, so there's a lot of content that the upfitters and the RV manufacturers can put in the vehicle.
What's the history of this van, and how is it used around the world now?
Right now, the history on this, it was first built in Europe by our partner Fiat, by the Fiat Professional line, and it's the third-generation vehicle in the market. There's over 4.7 million ProMasters and Ducatos, which is the European name for the vehicle, on the road today.
So these are proven in terms of reliability, in terms of their ruggedness, and they're used for, I know delivery vehicles use them, and we see them on the road everywhere now in North America. So.
Yes, over 30 years of evolution have gone into the current ProMaster that you see today, so it makes it very adaptable to the market, and we've done things for recreational vehicle use to make it easy to upfit, and a lot of that in mind, thinking forward to what they're going to do to the vehicle in its final manufacturing stages.
What we're seeing here is a lot of modular construction, and it seems that they're able to actually produce these faster than some of the traditional chassis that they have been using.
Yes, we're very impressed with the Road Trek manufacturing process here, high quality, best in class, Overall, they're probably the leaders in the industry from what we can see from our vantage point.
Well, congratulations on a great vehicle that I think is going to we're going to see that out in campgrounds and on the highways and byways of North America. And here's my big question, since you're from the Canadian office. Pronounce the name of the parent company for me. Chrysler or Chrysler?
Chrysler.
I like that. Yes. All of my Canadian friends here are saying Chrysler, and I say, who is that? And then I realize it's like the spelling of the word color or color. So.
Yeah, it's Chrysler, very clearly, yes.
Thank you.
Just
Ken,
like crystal.
Here you go. Ken Tucky, he is the senior manager of National Fleet and Commercial Vehicles, and we're at the Road Truck Factory in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. Thanks, Ken, for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Do you have ESP? Well, you need ESP. I'm talking about Good Sam's Extended Service Plan. Now, this is mechanical breakdown insurance. It's not a warranty. Mechanical breakdown insurance on your RV. You ever had a breakdown? You know how stressful this can be, how expensive it could be. Well, Good Sam ESP will alleviate the burden. It'll save you time, money, and it will provide you peace of mind. Good Sam ESP pays your vehicle's repairs, including parts and labor, at any repair facility. Motorhomes, travel trailers, and everyday autos are even covered. Your policy is renewable up to 18 model years or 150,000 miles. You can customize your policy with multiple deductible and payment options. To date, Good Sam ESP has paid out more than $95 million in claims. For a free quote, visit roadtrekking.com/GoodSam. Good Sam Extended Service Plan. Good Sam Extended Service Plan is better than a warranty. roadtrekking.com/GoodSam.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
If you spend any time outside in your Class B RV, you have encountered the problem of biting and stinging insects or drizzly rain, and you want to be outside. My motto is always a small house but a big yard. And to go out and enjoy that big yard, how do you stay out of the elements and keep the biting things from bugging you? Well, one solution is something called the ARC RV Shelter. It's pretty new to the market. And it looks like a tent that kind of can go on the side of the vehicle. I'm looking at a Sprinter, for example, that has it on the side or even on the back. It can be extended. You can make a couple of tents. Best way for you is to look at the show notes for this episode of the podcast. I will have built in some photos and you can see it. But let's learn a little bit more about it from Sarah Williams. She's with Let's Go Aero Incorporated, based out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. God's country out there. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. Yeah, the ARC RV is the newest addition to our ARC House shelter line, which is designed to be an add-on side room tailgate tent for storage and living. And we designed them so that they will go around a range of vehicles, from small cars up to a Toyota Tundra, to a side doorway of a Eurovan camper. And the newest one we have here is the ARC RV for the Sprinter Class B vehicles. So it is an ARC-shaped tent that is modular with doors that zip on and off on both sides that can operate as a sunshade canopy or a fully enclosed shelter for living. That with the doors that zip on and off, you can have sort of a semi-open air fully contained environment, basically adapt to the different vehicles that you're trying to live next to, or other kinds of environmental conditions you might find yourself in.
It not only keeps you out of the sun, out of the drizzle, but it keeps the bugs out because you can seal off that front part as well.
Yep, you can seal it closed to keep the bugs out. We have also a clip-on screen room that will just put you in a fully enclosed screened condition. The tent actually wraps around the pole structure, which is very, very simple to set up, and it's a very lightweight tent. And the one of the novel things about it is the way the design is that the tent actually wraps around the poles and tightens down with a tensioning system. And so if you find that the weather gets really nice, you can either just open a door and let the breeze in and out, or you could take the whole arc off and just be supported by the poles in a screened environment right next to your RV.
Now, in a Class B motorhome, you don't have a lot of storage space. How does this all fold up and transport?
Well, it folds up into a really nice carry bag that weighs about 24 pounds. So it really packs down into a small bag, and it's really not heavy to carry around or to store.
I've got some photos that we just took, and we'll post those with this episode of the podcast so folks can actually see what it looks like all folded up. I should also point out that you guys make some incredible cargo boxes.
Thanks. That's been our specialty, is capacity. We've got a range of different enclosed cargo carriers that go off of the hitch, the bumper hitch and for towing. But they're not trailers. They don't have wheels, but they give you a ton of added storage space that piggybacks right off the back of the car that can fit bulky items up to the size of bicycles.
And you can then swing that away so you can open the back doors?
Yes. We have models that will slide out to clear the barn doors of Sprinter-based RVs that have adjustability to clear spare tire mounts that are on the back of many of these Sprinter RVs.
So just contact you guys and you'll give them the information on how to do that. We'll put a link to your website. And the one that I am really attracted to is this ARC RV shelter. I can see a lot of possibilities, particularly for Class B RVers who like to go out and boondock, get way out in the sticks, and yet open those doors and not have to worry about stuff coming in or to get out of the sun and the rain.
Yep, it gives you all that room to lounge around, to even cook if you ever wanted to outside to barbecue, but have the shelter if it starts raining. And they're designed in a way, in a modular way, that you can zip one to another. So you can expand in a cellular kind of concept one to the other. So if you're having a big party, you can connect two together. And everybody has a huge footprint from a space-wise. Each tent is about 10 feet by 6 feet deep by 6.5 to 105 inches tall is one end of the shelter for the Class Bs.
Now, the big question is price, retail price?
Yeah, the ARC RV shelter debuting here is $449 MSRP. And we have another model for the other types of smaller campers out there that is about a $399 MSRP.
And we'll put a link to the website, Let's Go Aero.
That's right.
And I appreciate it. Sarah Williams, our guest on this episode of our Tech Report on our podcast. These are very cool, Sarah. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Mike. It's always fun.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, Jennifer is joining me once again. And this week, where are we going, dear?
We are going to go to the Badlands in South Dakota.
Oh, the Badlands. Easy to see why the American Indians and the early settlers called that area of southwestern South Dakota the Badlands.
I would not want to go through there on a horse or drawing a horse-drawn carriage.
Yep, they're dry, unbearably hot in the summer, isolated, rugged, and I can only imagine how difficult they were to navigate in the days before modern transportation, but as inhospitable as it is, they sure are beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. You need to see them. If you haven't seen them, it's a must-see.
And it's a great place to visit by RV. We try and go there every year. I'd say we're kind of hooked on the Badlands.
They are so beautiful. And that one year that we camped there, it was so nice.
Yep, the Badlands National Park, 242,756 acres. Eroded buttes and pinnacles and spires blended with what they say is the largest undisturbed mixed grass prairie anywhere in the United States.
There's just a rugged beauty there. It's just the most beautiful place. It's not like anything else.
And animals, lots of animals.
You're going to see bison, the bighorn sheep, prairie dogs throughout the park.
Sometimes far off, sometimes often, surprisingly close.
Yeah.
On the downside, though...
Oh, yeah, look out for the snakes. I'm not a big snake fan. Prairie rattlesnakes, they're out there.
Yep. Historically, the Badlands were formed by the geologic processes of what they call deposition and erosion. The deposition of sediments, like something like 69 million years ago, when an ancient seabed stretched across what is now the Great Plains. And then as that sea retreated, successive land environments, rivers, and floodplains continued to deposit sediments. And although the major period of deposition, they say, ended about 28 million years ago, erosion of the Badlands didn't begin until a mere half a million years ago. And that continues to carve the buttes out of the Badlands today. Eventually, they say it'll completely erode away.
And the Badlands, they've got the world's richest fossil beds.
Yeah, during the age of the dinosaurs, there was a shallow sea that covered the Great Plains. And lots of fossils, dinosaurs. They were land creatures, so no fossils of those animals have been found in the park. But giant marine lizards called mosasaurs swam in that ancient sea, along with sea turtles and fish. Neat park.
Yeah, and the best thing is that park is open year-round.
We always go visit in the summertime.
I know. It's a bit hot. Whenever we go there, the temperatures easily hit 100 degrees.
So if you're going to go, you want to plan your hiking and your bike riding in the early morning. It's a photographer's dream location. We every year we stop, and I get off on the side of the road, and you drive our little RV up and down. I take all these pictures of it.
I'm almost getting used to driving the Badlands.
Yeah. Yep. They're and they look different every time, different times of the day with the sun. I would say you'd want to spend at least 3 days, two nights, don't you think, the minimum time?
Yeah, I think that's the minimum amount of time that you want to spend there. You do just want to just sit there and just soak it in.
Now, getting there is easy. It's off I-90. I-90, of course, that major north or east-west route. And I-90, it's just north of the park, maybe a few miles. And you get off on the Highway 420 Badlands Loop Road. We'll put directions to that on our Road Trekking blog under the show notes here. roadtrekking.com/14 is the name of this episode. So if you're going west, and that's when we usually stop, we're on our way to Yellowstone. And we find that's a great place to stop. It's exit 131. And we go to the little tiny town of Interior. And that's where we found a great KOA park. Love that park. That KOA park, remember the shade trees that we had? It was by the river.
And it was pleasant. There was a swimming pool.
Yeah, and it's the only place you can get shade. There is a National Park Service campground there, but there's very little shade. And if you're going in the summertime, you really want to be careful. I think there's three campgrounds there, two by the National Park Service, Cedar Pass Campground and Sage Creek Campground. But the one that we really like is that KOA, which is in Interior. It's called the White River KOA, if you look it up, White River KOA. And it's only about 4 miles outside of the park. And that is our favorite place. We really like it. It's very quiet, rural area, large shade trees. Like I said, it's right next to the White River. And there's a great dirt road right across the street from the campground for bike rides. And the bike rides are really fun because you go out through the range country. So there you go. Even if you've been there before, I bet like Jennifer and I, you'd want to go.
Yeah, it's worth stopping, taking the time to go see it.
All right. So that's,
it's like an old friend.
It is like an old friend, a warm old friend. I'd like to see it in the wintertime.
That would really be fun since it's open year-round.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see it in the... We also want to go to Yellowstone in the winter. We've never done that.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
All right. That's our next one. All right. So there's our destination of the week, the Badlands National Park in South Dakota.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, there we go. Episode 14. Have you listened to our previous episodes? Hey, if you have not, please do us a favor. Go back. Just go to roadtrekking.com/podcast and you'll see all of the 14 podcasts that we've done since we began this earlier in the fall. And I think you'll find lots of really interesting things and features. And I'd love to hear your questions and comments and feedback. In fact, I want to start a new feature on this podcast. I want to call it Off the Beaten Path. You know, I think there's a lot of people like Jennifer and I who just love to get far away from the interstates, down those two lanes, many times even down dirt roads. And there's so many stories to share. So here's the deal. I would like you to leave me a voice message about your favorite place off the beaten path, kind of like a little mini travel review. Go to roadtrekking.com. There's a little... on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com screen, there's a black vertical stripe, and it says leave voice message. Just click that, and then you can use the microphone in your computer and share me one. You can talk up to like up to 5 minutes. So give us a little review, a place off the beaten path. And if I use yours, I promise I'll send you a gift. I'll give you a road trekking hat. How's that? These are the coolest hats you've seen, by the way. They really are cool. So do that. Do us an off-the-beaten-path review of some place that you've been. I'd like to start that even next week. Don't forget, leave us a voicemail message about anything that you want, questions or comments. We love to hear it. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/roadtrekking. If you're on Twitter, I tweet all day long. I use the name Road Trekking. So that's me, at Road Trekking on Twitter. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. New episodes released every Wednesday. And if you would, it would really, 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 I'm down on my knees pleading, leave us a review and a rating, a nice rating on those stars that you see on the iTunes chart. It really helps us get noticed. And we're able there to get out into many more people's ears. I want to thank you for putting me in your ear with this podcast. Till next week, I am Mike Wedlin, road trekking across North America. So long, everybody. And if I don't talk to you before Christmas, we'll be back with the Christmas Eve edition of the show. But Merry Christmas to you. This is being recorded in December 2014 for those of you who are listening at a different time. But if you're listening far into the future, we hope you had a great Christmas too. God bless you all. We'll see you out there road trekking.